The Murder Monologues, a short series of murderous tales by Alexa Tewkesbury. Episode 1, Time Bomb.
Some birds sound so mournful, don't they? There's one out there now, crying. Gets into your head, that sound. Stays with you. Well, stays with me. It's not that I don't like birds, I do. My sister's the one who hates them. Why can't they just flap about quietly? I mean, why do they have to make so much noise? My sister hates a lot of things. And if she hates you, you know about it. I'm not like that. I'm not like her. Mum always said we were like two peas in a pod growing up, but we weren't. I think it's because she always wanted identical twins. She had this dream of having perfect matching kids. Well, we let her down good and proper over that. Jackie arrived in such a hurry, Mum nearly dropped her in the loo. She had to wait another 6 years for me. So we were about as far from being any sort of twins as you could possibly get. Plus Jackie was a blonde. I mean, she's been all colours since, mind you, but back then she was blonde. Me, I've always been this. Dark. Jackie's taller too. I'm a different build from her altogether. She prefers savoury things. I like sweet. I could go on. I said to Mum once, "I'm sorry we're not your perfect twins." "Don't be daft," she said. "Besides, you two are more alike than you realise." I always looked up to our Jackie, though. It's what you do, innit? You look up to your big sister. When I were little, I thought she was funny. Clever, I mean. But she wasn't actually that clever. I just thought she was. I remember the first time I saw her in high heels. I had this overwhelming feeling that she'd marry a prince and become a princess. I really believed that. I thought, she'll be a princess, and I'll have a horse called Black Beauty, and a dog, and live in the cabin in the woods. I asked her, "When you're a princess in high heels, will you come and visit me in my cabin in the woods?" She said, "You won't catch me in the woods, not in these shoes." Anyway, as it happens, I never had a horse or a dog, and especially not a cat. Turns out, I've got allergies. We didn't find out till Mrs. Trubshaw moved in next door with her cat and her husband, but I wasn't allergic to him. If that cat came within 2 feet of me, though, I would puff up like a balloon. Jackie used to say I did it on purpose so I wouldn't have to go to school. I mean, how do you puff up on purpose? I remember Dad shouting that that cat would have to go, and Mum saying, "How can we tell somebody that the cat's got to go?" And Dad said, "We don't have to tell her anything. I'll make it go. We can't have our Sandra puffing up every 5 minutes. For one thing, she'll keep popping the buttons on a school uniform, and I'm not forking out for another one." I hated being called Sandra. Not that there's anything wrong with the name Sandra, and I'm sure that it suits a lot of people. I just never really felt it suited me. I preferred Sandy. But Dad and Jackie would never call me Sandy. I asked Jackie one day, "Why don't you call me Sandy? You're Jacqueline and we call you Jackie." She just looked at me and she said, "Yeah, but you're not a beach, are you?" Years ago, Jackie had this best friend in the next street, Karen. Karen was always round at ours. I think it was to do with her mum's work and needing somewhere to go after school. I used to get fed up with it. I couldn't watch what I wanted to watch on TV because Karen always wanted to watch something different, and Jackie said I had to knock if I wanted to go into her room when they were both in there, but they never knocked when they came into mine. Then one day Karen stopped coming. I asked Jackie why, and she said to me, "Cool as you like, because I killed her. But you mustn't tell anyone. It'll be our secret. I did it for you, Sandra. I know it annoyed you, having her here so much." I was 7 years old, and I had never felt so scared in my whole life. A few weeks later, Karen popped up again, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I said to Jackie, "You said you'd killed her." Jackie stared at me like I was an idiot and laughed in my face. "What?" she said. "You never believed me. Oh my God, that's hilarious." Over the years, I've tried to feel better about it. But that horrible, uneasy, scared feeling, that burden I had of thinking, my sister's a murderer and it's all because of me, never really went away. She used to drive Dad's spare, Jackie did, right from her early teens, because she had so many boyfriends. Two at once sometimes. Dad said she could go out on a Friday night with one fella and come home 6 hours later with somebody completely different. When I asked her why she had so many, she'd say, "Why do you think? I'm training them up for you. Breaking them in, if you know what I mean." And then she'd giggle. I never understood why, but I'd giggle too. Even though I hated it because I was pretty sure she was laughing at me. Dad used to hold his head in his hands and he'd say to Mum, "This is you, this is. This is your fault. You're too soft with her." Something else that made me and Jackie different. Boys were never that into me, which was all right, because I was never that into them. There was this one though, Calvin. I did like Calvin. From the moment I saw him when Jackie brought him home, he had kind eyes, and he were always eating Maltesers. Mum said you could hear him coming a mile off with all that crunching, and he'd be sorry because one day he'd have no teeth. Jackie said she'd leave him if he didn't give him up. She said, "I'm not being seen with somebody that's got no teeth." So, in the end, he did. Calvin always called me Sandy, right from the start. Jackie used to moan at him, "It's not Sandy, it's Sandra." I heard him say to her once, "She doesn't like the name Sandra." "So," Jackie answered, "I don't like the name Calvin, but do you hear me complaining?" I don't know why I stayed with her. She was always so mean to him, so nasty. Eventually, they got engaged. Not long after, Jackie cornered me in the bathroom. "You fancy Calvin, don't you?" she said. "You've always fancied him." "Well, don't tell him I said so, but that's why I'm going to marry him. So you'll never be able to have him." She had this smirk on her face. I'd seen it before loads of times. But for the first time ever, I wanted to knock it right off. I knew she'd never be faithful to him. But I don't know exactly when the other thing started. It must have been a few years after they were married. The first time she told me, she were all curled up in the corner of the sofa and she had this odd sort of look in her eyes. She'd tell me on a regular basis after that exactly what had happened, exactly when it had happened, how they got into a fight again, and that she'd hurt him. She said she couldn't help herself. She said sometimes she hit him so hard she'd make him bleed. And it was so weird because the more she told me, the more I wanted her to shut up, but the more I wanted to hear about it too. One time after she'd been telling me, she stared at me a minute and then she said, "What's with that face? You like this, don't you? Don't you?" I could feel my cheeks all hot and my breathing was going faster. Jackie shoved her face right close to mine. "You do," she said. "You like the idea of making someone bleed. You're getting all excited." I couldn't answer, I couldn't speak. My mouth felt all dried up. "I tell you what," Jackie said, "you have no idea how powerful it makes you feel." All of a sudden she sat back. "Anyway," she said, "you don't have to worry. I won't tell anyone about what you want to do to my husband. Just like you mustn't tell anyone what I do to him." Because where would the fun be in that, Sandra? It's got to be our secret.
creosote, Dad said. It's what you want to do, that fence, with creosote. We've been through this, I said. You can't get creosote anymore, Dad. It's banned. He said, what do you mean? No one told me it was banned. I did tell you, Dad, I said. It's been banned for years. It's bad for the environment and it's bad for your health. Bad for our health? Rubbish, he grunted. I've used creosote on my fences all my life and I'm not dead yet. No, I thought. No, you're not, are you? He pointed. So what's that? It's wood stain. I told him, you'll like it. Forest breeze. He said, forest what? Forest breeze. It's a nice green.
Green? He said.
Green?
If I wanted a green fence, I'd have a hedge.
Look, I said, my patience was wearing thin now. I'll be honest, do you want me to paint your fence or not, Dad?
Well, of course I want you to paint my fence, he said. I can't do it, can I? Not with these ulcers. But I want it painted with creosote, not some namby-pamby forest breeze.
I dropped my brushes.
Right, I said. I'll go and make us a cup of... I'll go and make a cup of coffee, shall I?
He said, you can't have a coffee break. You haven't done any work yet.
Well, I wouldn't say that, I said. It's bloody hard work standing here talking to you.
He said, what? I said, nothing. I went to put the kettle on. He followed me into the kitchen. Stood there, glaring.
Sit down, Dad. You're supposed to be resting those ulcers. What would you know about my ulcers? He said.
Mind you, you'll find out for yourself one day.
I said, what are you talking about?
He said, well, you're prone, aren't you?
We are, we're prone. Your nan had them, my dad had them. Your auntie Pat, there's no reason to expect you'll escape.
He sat down then. I picked a couple of mugs off the drainer, rinsed them out. Dad's version of washing up is to not wash up. He watched me. I could feel his eyes burning a hole in my back.
Anyway, where's that woman of yours today? He said.
And here we go, I thought. I wondered how long it would take him.
That woman, I said. Why don't you ever call her by her name?
He said, some people don't deserve to be called by their name. I finished making the coffee and plonked the mugs onto the kitchen table. I didn't sit down.
I suppose she's the one who decided on this forest breeze, he said.
No, actually, I answered. That was my idea.
Well, he shook his head. You know I've never liked her.
Oh, don't I just. There was a pause. I'd say a silence, but any possibility of silence was shattered by the sound of him slurping. He could never drink a cup of tea or coffee without slurping. I don't know how Mum stood it all those years. I have to deliberately think about something else, try to block it out, otherwise I might thump him. Suddenly, Dad put his mug down and looked at me.
There's something I've never told you, he said.
I thought, oh, please, not today. Don't think I've got it in me to deal with it today. He'd been building up to this for weeks, a comment here, a sideways glance there, after all these years. Like it even matters.
Really?
I said. Honestly, couldn't have cared less.
Right, so why tell me now?
Because you need to know. I could see he was getting agitated. I said, look, there's nothing I need to know, Dad. Nothing. I'm going to get that fence done.
Oh, to hell with the bloody fence.
He thumped a fist on the table, slopped coffee out of the mugs.
I'm trying to tell you something here.
I stared at him.
What?
He took a moment. Then he said, that woman and your late mother... And he looked me right in the eye. They have something in common.
Do they now?
Oh, they do, Dad said. And he leaned towards me across the kitchen table.
They've both had affairs.
He said it slowly, you know, slumped back in his seat as if the effort of getting those words out had exhausted him.
I'm going to get on, I said. That fence won't paint itself.
He shot up out of his chair and stepped in front of me quicker than you'd imagine anyone with ulcers could do.
Did you hear what I said? Your mum had an affair. I didn't have the energy. Yes, Dad, I said, and I hate to take the wind out of your sails, but I know. Me and Jessie, we've both always known. He looked horrified. The way someone might, you know, if you stabbed them in the arm with a penknife. And I suddenly felt sorry for him. Even though pity was the last thing he deserved. Sit down, I said. He stood there staring at me. Dad, please, sit yourself down. I sat down too, and I watched him shaking his head. You couldn't have known, he said. Not you, nor your sister, unless... What, did she tell you? Your mother, did she tell you? Nobody told us, Dad, I said. They didn't have to. We're not stupid. We used to hear you both, you know, rowing, and we've always known. Dad stayed still, lost for words, which was a miracle in itself. You got any biscuits? I said. I got up and I went to the cupboard. I'll get you a biscuit. I don't want a biscuit. He looked up at me. How come you've never said anything? After all these years, neither of you. I gazed back at him. What would have been the point? After a moment, he picked up his mug again, took another slurp. Coffee dripped off the bottom of the mug onto his trousers from where he'd slopped it. I know you wanted me to like her, he said, that woman, but how could I, when I could see the exact same thing in her that I always knew was in your mother? Like a time bomb, ticking away until one day, boom! And just for a second, I wanted to shake him. He really had no idea. If that was the only thing ticking inside that woman, do you know, I think I could almost be happy. The doorbell rang. Leave it, Dad said. Just leave it. No, I'll see who it is, I said. I opened the front door and it was the nurse come to change his dressings. I said, I'll come back and do the fence another time. Don't leave on my account, the nurse said. I told her it was better I get off. And Dad said, don't go. We need to talk about this. There's nothing to talk about, Dad, I said. I'll leave the wood stain in the garage. When I got home, I found my sister-in-law's car parked in the road outside the house. She was sitting on the doorstep. What are you doing here? I asked her. No one in? Oh, yeah, she answered, but I was waiting for you. And there was something about the way she looked at me. Couldn't quite put my finger on it. Everything all right? I asked. She nodded. I perched down next to her for a minute. I'd just been round to Dad, I said. That was a joy. She said, poor you. Is there anyone in your life who's not difficult? She put a hand on my arm. Well, it's not his fault, really, I said. He's old, you know, he's in pain. I'll probably be a grumpy old bugger when I'm in his years, you know. She laughed. No, you won't. You couldn't be grumpy if you tried. She gave my arm a squeeze. I smiled, but I felt a bit uncomfortable, to be honest. It was the same whenever she did anything. It was affectionate. I knew she'd always carried a bit of a torch for me. Let's go in and see what Jackie's up to, I said. I'll make you a cup of tea. I went to get up, but she still had hold of my arm. She was ironing when I got here, she said. Ironing her pants. Who irons her pants? I asked her. Who irons their pants? She said. Well, Sandra, the thing is, you never know what opportunities might come up. I always like to be ready to... seize the day. And she gave me that smirk. You know the one? You'll have seen it often enough, probably every time she hurts you. She was looking straight at me, and I felt like she'd thumped me in the chest, knocked all the air out of my lungs. Oh, yeah, Sandy said. I know all about it. She tells me all the details, every time it happens. Everything she does, it's like she's proud of it. Anyway, when she threw me that smirk this time, I don't know what happened. It was like something inside me went boom, and I thought, I never want her smirking at anyone like that ever again. So I took the iron off her and I hit her with it. And I am so sorry, Calvin. But when I washed my hands, I got her blood on one of your towels. Like that was the worst thing she'd done. For a moment, I just stared at her. Then I started to laugh and I said, what are you talking about now? She gazed back at me. Her eyes were dark, empty. It's not funny, Calvin, she said. I'm not making this up. I don't think I've ever felt so cold. Frozen, right through to my core, so I thought my heart might stop. Anyway, she's dead now, Sandy said. I killed her. I did it for you, Calvin. You're better off without her, but you mustn't tell anyone, all right? Can be our secret, can't it? She let go of my arm, stood up. Right, I must go, she said. I promised Mum I'd get shopping in. Oh, nearly forgot. I've got something for you. She smiled, reached into her bag. Here. She held out a box of Maltesers. Best not let Jackie see them, oh. Hey, you know what she's like? Jackie? My head was spinning. I couldn't breathe. I wanted to vomit, but I forced myself to look at her. But you said that she was... Her face broke into a smile. Oh, bless you, she said. You never believed me. You are so funny, Calvin. She dropped the Maltesers in my lap, leaned in towards me. So close, her mouth brushed my ear when she spoke. Why don't you go inside then? See for yourself. She was still smiling when she straightened up, turned, and walked away up the path. In Time Bomb, Sandy was played by Sarah Jane Potts and Calvin by Joseph Milson. Sound editing and music by Julian Tewksbury.